Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to our podcast, The Greek Current, for your daily roundup, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HALC staff. Senator Chris Van Hollen joins our podcast today to discuss his concerns over Turkey's aggressive behavior in the Eastern Mediterranean and the broader region, and reports that Ankara activated its Russian S-400 system. We also discuss the bipartisan efforts in Congress to hold Turkey accountable, and Senator Van Hollen's views on Turkey's decision to ratchet up tensions by opening up the ghost city of Varosha in violation of UN Security Council resolutions. Senator Van Hollen, welcome to The Greek Current. It's great to have you on our podcast.
And it's great to be with you.
Senator, you've been active on the issue of Turkey's purchase of Russian S-400s and thus its violation of CATSA for a while now. You helped build a bipartisan coalition, you and Senator Shaheen on the Democratic side, Senator Langford and Senator Tillis on the Republican side, to draft the Protecting NATO Skies Act of 2019 that effectively led to Turkey being ejected from the F-35 program. Why has Congress been so far ahead of both the White House, State Department, and apparently the NATO Secretary General on this issue?
Well, again, it's good to be with you. Many of us on a bipartisan basis have been very disappointed at the foot-dragging we see on the part of the Trump administration in response to what is a clear violation of U.S. law, the CATSA law. And the CATSA law requires the imposition of sanctions on countries that make major purchases of Russian military equipment. And in the case of Turkey, it's especially egregious because this is a NATO ally. At least they're supposed to be a NATO ally. And yet they've purchased this Russian defense system that can put NATO pilots and NATO at risk. That's according to the statements and testimony of U.S. and NATO military officials. That's why we pressed to make sure that we pushed them out of the F-35 program, because the F-35 is highly advanced technology. We don't want that compromised by Turkey's use of the S-400s. But we still need to be applying the CATSA sanctions. And this administration's failure to do so just further emboldens President Erdogan to ignore other U.S. and NATO interests. So that's why Senator Langford and I wrote this letter yesterday to Secretary Pompeo, and that's why we'll continue to work on a bipartisan basis to push this issue.
I want to ask about that letter, Senator. It went out yesterday, and you wrote the letter to Secretary Pompeo reminding him of the obligation to impose sanctions under CATSA and asking him two new questions. What's the concern that led you to sending this specific letter at this moment? And do you believe a red line has been crossed?
Yes. I mean, technically, the Trump administration should have applied the CATSA sanctions when Turkey took possession of the S-400s. But my goodness, they certainly should be triggered when Turkey's activating the S-400. And we have very credible reports that Turkey activated the S-400 in late August in response to joint military exercises being undertaken by Greece, Cyprus, Italy, and France in the Eastern Mediterranean. So that is why Senator Langford and I sent this letter right now to get more information about whether or not our intelligence indicates that Turkey did turn on the S-400 in that instance, and questions regarding how it would compromise NATO defense capabilities.
Have you gotten a response yet, Senator?
No response. We just sent this letter. The administration, however, has been really non-responsive to continued bipartisan congressional demands to apply the CATSA sanctions. Clearly, President Erdogan has President Trump under his spell because there's no justification for not applying the law that's on the books. And it is only emboldening Turkey to take more aggressive actions, not just with respect to activating the S-400, but other actions they're taking in the Eastern Mediterranean and other places in the region.
Senator, although we're in an election season now, whenever you've bumped heads with President Trump on the issue of Turkey, you've been part of a bipartisan team. Besides your legislation on the F-35s, you also drafted legislation with Senator Graham to sanction Turkey for its attacks on Kurds in Syria. You've also noted that, you know, Trump needs to stop being a cheerleader for authoritarian leaders like Erdogan. It diminishes our standing around the world. when it comes to U.S. relations with Turkey and leadership in the Eastern Mediterranean and the broader region, such as in the Caucasus, where we're seeing Azerbaijan's aggression against Armenia, do you believe a President Biden would be better?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that a President Biden and a Biden administration would restore American leadership in the region and American credibility. What we have right now is President Erdogan recognizing that he can walk all over President Trump. Trump keeps talking about his close relationship with his friend Erdogan, but what is the result of our policies been? Number one, it's been much more aggressive Turkish action in the Eastern Med with respect to gas deposits against Greece, Cyprus, and others in the region. It's been this activation of the S-400 in violation of American law or triggering U.S. sanctions law. And then you see this more recent aggression using reportedly U.S. provided F-16s to support Azerbaijan in its aggressive actions against Armenia. And then you have Erdogan attacking our Syrian Kurdish allies who were critical to our fight against ISIS. So in case after case, you have President Erdogan thumbing his nose at important U.S. and NATO security interests, and President Biden would not stand for that. He will establish U.S. credibility when he establishes U.S. policy. I'm confident that he will enforce U.S. policy, because when you have someone like President Erdogan thumbing his nose at the United States, it sends messages to others, both allies and adversaries alike, that they can do what they want and undermine U.S. security interests. So there's no doubt that a Biden-Harris administration would restore credibility to U.S. foreign policy in this region and beyond.
I want to turn to Cyprus, where you helped lead a congressional delegation in 2019. Today, Turkey ratcheted up tensions by opening a part of the beach of the ghost city of Varosha in violation of UN Security Council resolutions. What is your reaction to this, and what can be done to stop or reverse this move, which could kill any hope of resuming reunification negotiations?
Well, this is a gross violation of international law, of UN resolutions. Of course, Turkey continues to occupy northern Cyprus, and this is a very belligerent action. There have been ongoing discussions with the UN, brokered by the UN, to establish, you know, confidence-building measures. People have talked in the past of opening up Varosha, allowing some of the original residents to return. In fact, the UN resolutions make clear that it can only be opened as part of allowing the original residents to return. So this is a very aggressive action taken by Turkey and the Turkish Cypriot Prime Minister, and it will undermine ongoing efforts to resume the negotiations with respect to Cyprus. So it's essential that the United States participate actively in the UN Security Council meeting tomorrow, and that we support and help lead the way to pass a resolution condemning the actions, the unilateral actions that are being taken in Varosha in gross violation of the current UN resolutions that have been established many, many years ago.
Senator Van Hollen, thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's good to be with you. As we can tell from this conversation, there are so many issues where President Erdogan is taking advantage of this moment and the lack of leadership coming out of the Trump administration. It's a very dangerous situation, and I hope the United States will reestablish its leadership role going forward to protect the alliance, protect our interests, and those of our allies.
In other news, Greece has said that unless Turkey reverses the reopening of parts of Varosha on Cyprus's east coast, it may seek to trigger economic sanctions that the European Union has lined up. Varosha was once an affluent neighborhood of high-rise hotels, residences, and shops, but it was evacuated and became a no-man's land when Turkey invaded Cyprus in 1974. Successive United Nations Security Council resolutions have called for the transfer of the area to the administration of the United Nations and for Varosha to be handed back to its former Greek Cypriot inhabitants. Meanwhile, European Union Interior Ministers agreed Thursday that sweeping new proposals to revamp the bloc's failed asylum system should form the basis for negotiations on building a fresh policy for managing the arrival of unauthorized migrants in Europe. Germany, which is chairing the discussions, is keen to reach a deal among EU governments and institutions on the new migrant pact by the end of the year, but the process may take longer. The plan must also be endorsed by all member nations and the European Parliament. That wraps up today's Daily Roundup. Thanks for tuning in.